I'm speaking today with Councilmember Ellen Cohen, who is in her first term serving in District C. Councilmember Cohen, always a pleasure to talk to you. We've chatted a few times before when you were in the legislature.
Thank you.
Now that you've served or are in your second year of serving on city council, you know, was it what you thought it would be? And how is it like or not like the legislature?
Well, you know, I get that question often. Is something like what you thought it would be? And so the answer to that is I'm not sure I thought about what I thought it would be. What it's turned out to be, in my opinion, is a very collegial group of people. I like the fact that, including myself, there are 17 of us, which of course includes the mayor. So it means for me, I've got to get to know 16 people. And what their passions are and how they feel about certain things. In the legislature, particularly in the House, I had to get to know 149 people. That was a tougher deal. I truly enjoy the closeness of serving on city council. I like knowing when a constituent calls that the issue they're talking about, I can picture in my head. I know what the problem is, I know what they're referring to, I can drive by it if I'm not as familiar with it, and I can get to it, hopefully, in a very timely way. At the legislative process in Austin, it was a much longer process. Very often, something that you cared passionately about wasn't going to see the light of the day the first session you were there, if it saw the light of day the second session you were there. But it had a much more global impact on the state than some of the issues I pass or I'm involved in at city council. So I've liked both of the experiences. I'm really enjoying where I am right now.
I mean, obviously one of the differences is that as a legislature, you can author legislation and hopefully see it through to passage. As a council member, I mean, the mayor sets the agenda. I mean, you can certainly influence things in a variety of ways, budget amendments and on committees and whatnot, but it's not like you can say, here's an ordinance I want to pass, let's vote on it.
That's very true, the way you put that. But the first part of what you said was at the legislative level, you can author, a bill and see it pass. Well, again, what I said just a few minutes ago was, yeah, maybe, maybe not.
Right,
I mean,
yeah. No guarantees.
10 years
sure.
later, you might see it passed, But you're right, at the city level. But what happens is, if I feel passionate about something, I mean, I can go sit down with the mayor. She's very open to meeting with council members. And I can say to her, look, this is something that I keep hearing a lot about. It's something I care very much about. This is where I see us going with it. And we'll have a discussion. And if she feels the same passion or she understands it or she wants some clarification, she'll tell me. And it may move then where she'll say to me, look, okay, if you can get your other, other members excited about it, we'll see what the next step is.
Okay. I mean, what's your assessment of District C today? How are things looking in your district? What do you think are the top issues facing it? And, looking back, what do you think you have done to make District C a better place?
Okay, well, I'm sure every council member says the same thing, but I think my district, District C, is spectacular. What's really exciting about District C is, even though it's a very serpentine district from Meyerland to T.C. Jester and 290, the Heights, Montrose, the Rice University Village, it's very long, and it's got about 200 and some thousand people in it. What's interesting about it, though, is whether it's the northern part or the southern part, people care about the same things. It's very neighborhood-centric, extremely neighborhood-centric. People care passionately about the quality of the infrastructure in their communities. They care about public safety. And they're willing to do what it takes to make change in their district. It's not just people calling and saying, I'm annoyed with, or this has to happen, but saying, how can I get our Citizens on Patrol program going? What will it take to get something? And they're ready to step forward and do it. It's also probably has the greatest amount of development than any other district, particularly residential development. Residential, mid-rise, and high-rise, which is a good thing for the district, but if you live next door to something that changes the neighborhood, and then you're upset about it. So,
well, it's interesting you mentioned that. I mean, your district includes the infamous Ashby High Rise, and it includes the Heights, where there are a number of battles going on over what is appropriate development. I mean, we've got the Walmart. We've also got things going on, various high-rises and mid-rises proposed in the Heights on Yale, on White Oak, so on and so forth. You know, how do you, I mean, given, especially given that, you know, Houston doesn't have a whole lot of controls over that sort of development, how do you balance what the neighborhood is asking for and what the developer has the rights to do? What, how do you balance those competing desires?
Well, I think you said it. You just said it. You know, what does the developer have the right today to do? I mean, I have to be able to look at what neighbors and neighborhoods are concerned about. And if there's a development going in, does that development, we don't have zoning, does that developer have the right to go in? And even if they do, there's still, the neighbors may not want it. They have the right, but, you know, do the neighbors want it? And the neighbors that are closest to the whatever's being built, in the most cases, prefer not to have it. They like the way the neighborhood was. But I can't step forward and object to every development that's going in on the grounds that people don't want it. If it meets the legal qualifications, what I can do and what I have done, and I'm really pleased about this, is to get the developers together with the neighbors, with the people, and talk about what their concerns are. And it may be something that's where you have the driveway designed is going to add more cars to this, you know, what about if you try it this way? So there is conversation. And I find that developers and the neighbors, once they sit down together, can usually come up with some resolve to what their concerns are. Developers, if it's legal and they want to develop, they're still going to go ahead with it.
Now, one other piece of that puzzle, of course, is enforcement, where developers, you know, aren't following the rules or aren't doing what they said they were doing. You know, in the case of the Walmart, there have been some complaints, at least, lodged that the developer hasn't done the things that it said it was going to do as part of the 380 agreement. I hear conflicting things, but the main point I'm getting at here is, you know, does the city have the resources it needs to enforce the development codes that it has?
Huh. Okay. I didn't know that was going to be the question as
you're
heading down the road.
No,
that's a good, but that's a very, I don't know what the numbers are, but my visceral response to that is the city doesn't have enough people to enforce almost anything that we have on the books. I mean, it's extremely difficult. We just simply don't have enough enforcement available. That's one answer to the question. I mean, the other question is, you know, what do you do if certain agreements aren't being met? And I think that's where our office, you know, steps in. If we can see that something is not happening, then the constituent is not getting any satisfaction, then we'll do exactly what we have done, and that is to step in to talk to, you know, whichever department is involved, ask them to please come in and meet with us and literally say to them, what's the deal here? Why isn't this being enforced? Here's a picture of something that, according to the developer, was done, but according to the person taking the picture, it's obviously it wasn't done. What's your response and how can we get it fixed? That's what we have to be able to do. That's different. Then how do you stop something? How do you make sure that people live up to their obligations and what they say they're going to do is another question. You know, and that's our job, to try and do it to the best way we can.
Well, we're going to talk about city resources. I mean, the council recently passed the mayor's budget, and it was a better year than it was a couple of years ago, as you know. The city has been able to largely restore services that were cut a couple of years ago, 2010. But city expenses are going up. Most of the city's expenses are labor-related, you know, police, fire, other employees, including, you know, code enforcement. You know, there's a lot of pressure in the budget. You know, do you believe that the city's finances are in good shape? And, you know, if the city is lacking in places like code enforcement, you know, do we have the capability of, you know, spending more in areas like that?
Okay, well, yeah, I do believe, I think our finances at this moment in time, today, which is July 2nd,
right,
or July 3rd, today is July 3rd, I think. As of July 3rd, I think we're in reasonably good shape. And as you said, we're far better than we were a couple of years ago. So that's a given. What's down the road, I think, is going to be very challenging. And I'm concerned. If this coming year is going to be, we're really going to have to get into the weeds on what and how we're going to manage our budget in the next year or so. It's going to be a problem. In terms of resources, at the growth rate that Houston is perceived to be facing, do we have enough fire office, you know, officials? Do we have enough police officials? Do we need more boots on the street? Do we need more cameras? Do we need, you know, what are the issues? And the issues, again, like you were asking about the district, but it applies to the entire city, safety. That's a huge issue. You can't grow at the rate we're growing and not make sure that we remain a safe city. So that's a big issue.
I mean, the long-term concerns about the city's finances tend to focus on things like pension and health care costs.
Mm-hmm.
The city has only so much control over these things, of course. Mm-hmm. As you know, the mayor and the firefighters have been going back and forth over their pension plan. But again, the city only has so much control over some of these things. So where does that leave the city in terms of what it can do? I mean, what do you think needs to be done to deal with some of the city's long-term issues? Is it more a matter of making sure revenue keeps up, or are there ways to control some of these costs that we haven't fully explored?
Well, and I don't want this to sound like a political answer, you know, because it's not. The reality is, where do we get the funds to continue, and how do we keep the lid on spending? I mean, that's the perennial question. In terms of couple of the issues you just raised, I mean, I think one of the things we need to do is sit down with our representatives in Austin and talk to them about legislation that affects what goes on in this city. And the dialogue needs to be there.
Do you support efforts that the mayor has been attempting to do to get the legislature to pass a bill that would require meet and confer with the firefighters?
I support activity to get the legislature to listen to what the issues are. I mean, whether or not, I'm not sure what the legislation has to be. So, but right now, there's just no discussion going on.
Okay. One issue that came up a little while ago in City Council, and I'm not sure if it's going to come up again, had to do with food trucks downtown. You know, there was kind of a strange hearing in which some interesting things were said by different council members, and, you know, the mayor has not indicated yet that she plans to bring the issue back to a vote. Do you support removing the restrictions on food trucks in downtown Houston?
Well, I support expansion of food trucks. Yes, I do. But not just, I mean, it's not me, it's not Ellen, it's District C. And I've done what we call a mother-in-law survey, where if you talk to your mother-in-law and ask her what does she think, she'll tell you what she thinks and what her friends think as well. So I've done a mother-in-law survey because I have 80 civic clubs in my district. Whenever I go, question of food trucks will come up, and I want to know what people think. And frankly, District C is all for expansion of food trucks.
Okay. There's a lot of talk these days about so-called complete streets.
Mm-hmm.
As part of, you know, new construction and renovating old you know, existing city streets, you know, part of Rebuild Houston, making them, you know, re-engineering them in a way that they're more pedestrian and bicycle friendly, some other things like that. What's your take on that? What would you like to see?
I think Complete Streets is a good idea. I think it's the right way to go. I think we have to have a combination of it. I felt this way all along. I think we need to be, people are always going to drive their cars, okay? Some people are always going to be in their cars. Some people will start using buses. I think we need light rail. I mean, we need all of that. We have to be able to have bicycle lanes. If you look at the survey that's done, you know, every year by Stephen Kleinberg, you know, a couple of years ago, he says to a young couple, what's your goal? Where do you want to live? Well, they want to live outside Houston, right? Have a bigger footprint, lots of yard. The kids could ride around, all of that. Now you ask that same question. People want to come into Houston. Well, if they want to come into Houston, then they want to be able to live in walkable neighborhoods. And those walkable neighborhoods has to be large enough sidewalks, bicycle lanes, even things like, you know, parking outside of certain areas and coming into them. I mean, there's all sorts of things we can do in the city of Houston, and I think we have to look at it. We really do.
Talking about parking, how's the parking benefit? Yeah. How's the parking benefit district in Washington Avenue?
Well, I don't think we know. I mean, it's only been actually, I think, in effect for almost like about a month.
Have you had any feedback so far from the restaurants and clubs?
No. I mean, but again, it's a pilot project, so we'll have a much better now. You know, we'll know something probably in the next 6 to 7 months. It's an 18-month project. So, you know, I would say 6 to 7 to 8 months along, we'll see. Is it collecting the revenue it was going to? Is it solving the problems of parking? Is it safer for people walking across Washington? I mean, all the things that we were looking
for. Is it having a negative effect on the existing businesses? All those things.
Is it having a negative effect? I mean, when we passed it, all our information from the different parking benefit districts around the country showed that it wouldn't. So we hope it doesn't have any negative effects on restaurants and bars and commercial activity.
Okay. As you know, Mayor Parker, running for her third term, has a couple of challengers. Who do you support in the mayoral race this year?
Yeah, I didn't realize you were going to ask you that, but I'm
going to ask everybody that.
Good. I think the mayor has done an excellent job. I think she has, you know, a good sense of the economics of this city, and I think she's running it like a business, and I hope she continues.
Okay. And what is it? What are your goals, if you are reelected in November, what are your goals for the next 2 years?
Well, my goals are to make sure that I do a good job of representing District C. I mean, that's the key issue for me. I ran as a district member and not at large because I had a passion for the district. So for me, I'd like to make sure that our CIP programs and obligations are met, that in my district, what we've promised to do, we're doing, whether it's roads and infrastructure. I want to make sure that that we have a good handle on safety issues. Those are probably the main concerns I have for the district.
All right. And to sum up, why should someone vote for you for another 2-year term in council as a District C council member in November?
I think I've shown myself to be a responsive council member. I want very much to continue the sense that I have that people feel I'm approachable, that I will go to bat for them. I will do my very best within the limits of the law to stand by my constituents. And I'm out there a lot, so I have my pulse on what their concerns are. And I need a few more years to continue to accomplish what we're trying to do.
All right, Ellen Cohen, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Pleasure.